Welcome to the Royalty Connection Podcast, empowering all people all over the world.
What's going on, beautiful people all around the world? It's your host, Donald M. Schuller Jr. here with the Royalty Connection Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to wish you all a wonderful Happy New Year as we continue our journey together, empowering people to be the change that they want to see. Understanding that the Royalty Connection is a group of people, a group of listeners, a movement who not only want to be the change, but to be the cashier, so we can all create change everywhere we go. Today's topic is pretty cool. I wouldn't say it's too deep, or maybe it is. It's with a very good friend of mine. Her name is Ali Devonshire. She is a triple threat, a dancer, a singer, and an actress. Today's topic is titled Dancing with a Purpose. Coming up right now. She's super dope. I've known her for a long period of time, and I've seen her grow. She's seen me grow, and we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to her heart. And, you know, our topic today is dancing with a purpose. And my friend, Ali Devonshire, she is a dancer. She's an actress. She's just an all around incredible person. And my favorite characteristic of her, she's a woman of God. And that is so important. So without further ado, I want to throw it to my great friend, Ali Devonshire. Can you give the people just some information on you and just, let's just talk.
Yes, yes. Hi, guys. yes, thanks, Don, for the intro. Information on me and with Dancing with a Purpose. So I grew up, I graduated from a school called Neshaminy High School right here in Bucks County where I was born. And then I went on to get a BFA in musical theater from a school called Rider University over in New Jersey. So yeah, background information. I started dancing when I was three. Believe it or not, 3 years old. My first musical I was in, I was five. I wasn't even like supposed to be in the show. I was too young, but they let me sing. It was Annie, and they let me audition because my sister was in it, and they let me be in it. So that was cool. But yeah, started dance at three, started performing like in shows at five. And then my main thing growing up, I was a competition dancer. So, been all over the dance world.
Wow. So would you say dance is like your passion? Because I mean, I get this a lot because sometimes people would say, well, would you consider yourself a triple threat? You know, a singer, an actor, you know, a dancer and stuff like that. What would you consider yourself?
I mean, definitely a triple threat. I do all three. I'm trained in all three. I will say though, dance for me has always been that one that I've felt completely free in, if that makes sense. Like I was just explaining to you, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. And when you're a singer, if you have a cold or you have allergies or anything, it's like so stressful when you have to perform like that. You're like doing all the neti pots and like everything.
It gets really disgusting, actually, just a little bit.
It does. It does. And acting, I mean, I just feel like, and again, I love all three, but with acting, I feel like you have to be so trained, but also have to like comedic timing is, you need to have that, you know, like that is, it can be taught, but like you need to almost have it naturally too. But with dance, that's like always been the one thing that I have felt like I could really control, because I just being in control of your body and like, I don't know. I've just always felt really, really free, really powerful when I'm dancing. So I would say that's definitely my passion.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what is, again, you're very versed in different types of dance. What would be your go-to? Like if you had to go to an audition tomorrow on Broadway, which could possibly, you could probably do that probably like tomorrow. what would it be?
So that's a funny question because when I was a competition dancer growing up, I was like a lyrical girl, always doing the lyrical modern stuff. Uh-huh. And then when I went to college, I really, really got into jazz. And my dance director in college was on in Fosse on Broadway. So yeah. I started getting trained in Fosse. And now that is like anything Fosse, any show Fosse, anything. I'm like, that's what I want to do. But wow. Also tap. For sure.
Wow.
I'd go in tomorrow for a tap show.
You know, it's crazy. Like tap is almost like the forgotten art form. Like that is like, that's really intense. And you have to really know what you're doing. Some people are like, well, I can tap dance. It's just like walking. Like no, it's actually not. It's very.
Tap. What's funny too, is when I was a competition dancer, I actually quit tap. Mm-hmm. And because it was so hard.
Yeah.
Like you have to you can't just like make up the sounds. You have to really, really know what you're doing. And it just didn't come as naturally to me. So I quit it. And then again, when I went to college, I just like found that love for it. And now any show I've done professionally has been a tap show. It's like, I'm only cast in tap shows. Let's be real. But it really is. It's like the forgotten style, but when it is done well, and especially in like a big like spectacle musical, there's nothing like it, in my opinion.
Awesome. That's super proud of you. Oh, so before we get too super deep into this thing, let me give y'all like the little background how I met Allie. So you know, I met Allie, I want to say it was 2014. I'm pretty sure.
That long ago?
Yeah, like so. I came home from my master's degree at Morgan State University in 2014. And I was like, yo, you know, college is over. I can't stay here anymore. So I need to figure out, you know, what I want to do, how I want to pursue, you know, the arts and entertainment and stuff like that. And I created, you know, a music video called Save the World, which was my first like ever major, you know, more than just myself and myself type of production. Yeah. And Allie was the lead in the music video. And it's I think it's at least 10,000 views now over a few years ago, which is pretty cool for my first like major thing. And just having Allie 2014. So how many years ago? So that means you were.
I graduated high school in 2015. So I was, oh, geez.
Kara, the one in the
math.
She was still in high school. So she was like a junior, senior in high school. So, and now she's not a junior, senior high school. She's a graduate. She just got married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, she's been doing so many great things and we've been able to stay in contact, you know, via social media and also, where I do voice lessons, Allie, she dances or she used to dance. You're still doing that?
I am back there now. Yes. I teach dance there again.
Nice. Shout out to Acting Naturally. Love you guys. So, you know, we run into each other every now and then. And it's just so awesome to see, you know, people who you kind of grew up with, you know, not necessarily like every day, like, but you know, it's been awesome.
Growing up, like, especially just with each other's careers and like personal lives. Like I saw when you got married, I was like, you know,
so
I know what you mean by that.
It's a beautiful thing. And just, you know, just being kind, you know, we need more times where, you know, people are just being kind to one another. And I think this is just kind of what this podcast is all about. And you know, I think what my brand is all about with the Royalty Connection, you know, we're all kings and queens and we're all in each other's kingdoms. So it's so important to encourage each other, you know, in everyday life.
It's funny you say that because there's two things. One, in the entertainment business, there's a lot of negativity and a lot of competitiveness, like pinning against each other, like all these things. So it's, you have to be kind. Like if you, as pre-COVID, when there's like hundreds of people in an audition room and you have those people with the stank faces, it's like, no, just walk in, be a good person. Like, don't make somebody else's day terrible. Yeah. You know, like that. And then also too, I just always think like, I think we've always had a nice special connection as well, just because it's like that brother and sister in Christ thing like underlying.
I love where you're going. Hey, are y'all listening and watching this? Y'all see there's a theme with the people who I bring on this show. I don't even mention it outright. It's just the Christ, the Holy Spirit within us. That's how it always goes. Like the entertainment industry, and that's it's funny. You're flowing with your boy, and I love you for that. So have there been any situations in your career where you feel like you had to say, I don't know if I should audition or if I should take this job because it's going to conflict with my principles and my values? Have you ever had any situations with that?
So not necessarily in the professional world have I mean, I hate when people like put performers in a box, but as a dancer and with my height and my body type, like I'm always cast in almost like showgirl type of shows, which is usually like the, like anything goes and all of those type of shows. So I'm not normally dealing with some of these controversial like topics or anything. However, like my school, they did do a few shows like Hair that has like nudity in it. And stuff like that. And I wouldn't personally like put myself in that situation. Not knocking anyone that does, because I do think all art has a purpose and like, you know what I mean? I would never like judge somebody for doing that. I think for me personally, it's just like, I know my boundaries and I wouldn't cross them just for a gig.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think for me, I've had to really diversify myself in almost every single way a person could do that. Coming out of college, I went from my first project, regional theater was A Color Purple. Baltimore, Maryland.
So good.
And, you know, it was absolutely incredible. It was my first time being, you know, on stage in front of thousands of people, you know, for however long the run was. I think it was a few weeks. And I was like, man, like, this is it. Like, this is absolutely incredible. You know, I come from a line of entertainers and whatnot. And just to take that moment to say, you know, I may, like when people see me, and you know, I'm a lot larger than, I'm a lot larger than most people. I'm your, you know, I'm your average size of your NFL defensive line. And, you know, and it's terrible sometimes when I meet with casting people and like wardrobe people, I'm like, yeah, so these are my measurements. And they're like, yo, you're like,
they're like, what?
But then, you know, when they see me, it's like, wow, you're actually, you know, I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, you know, I have to put specifically in parentheses, you know, these are my measurements, athlete, because they're just like, you know, they would think otherwise. But, you know, growing up, it's like, you know, so you're the big black guy. So you got to play, you know, the thug, you got to play, you know, the gangbanger, you got to play. And these are things that I've had to fight in my career, you know, for a long time. Like, it's been 10 years since I've done this professionally, since I started. And I've had my representation now for about 6 years, I want to say. So I lost an agent and I gained another agent and a management team that I have now. But my first agent, she was just like, is it that serious? Can you just, you know, can you just go kiss this guy really quick? Can you just like, you know, and I'm just like, well, you know, I have principles, I have morals, I have standards. And that's not to say anybody who, you know, wants to kiss a girl, a guy, kiss a guy, whatever. Like, you know, I, as me and you, you know, we both understand we are to love everyone, but that doesn't mean we are to agree with everything everybody does, you know? Mm-hmm. And
that's such a difficult thing to explain.
It is.
Because it's automatically like, oh, you're judging me. You think you're high and mighty, like all these things, but it's like, no, I, there's the verse and I forget where it is or how exactly it goes, but it's like, before you start like judging somebody else, like take the plank out of your own eye.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm not sitting here judging anybody. I'm looking at my own life and my own career and just making the choices best for myself.
Yeah. That's how it is, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course now it's like, you have all these lawsuits and stuff like that going on and Broadway, TV and film. Like, you know, one of the commercials I've been blessed to do at least 25 commercials or more in my career so far.
That's wild.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful. One of the first few I did for NBC Universal, and they were doing this internal project, and I was playing like this Penn State football player, and I went up to New York to do the audition. I know, that was pretty awesome.
Penn State.
So I did that, and the audition script was one way, and then the day before, they sent me the final script and stuff, and I was like, all right, this is great. Until I got down to this like last line, and it was nothing. It was the exact opposite of what I auditioned with. And I talked to my agent. It had to be at least like 10, 11 o'clock. And, you know, your agent, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So you need to go ahead and do this, or you need to communicate. So I was like, hey, this isn't going to work because this wasn't in the original agreement. And she was like, well, it's not that big of a deal, is it? Can't you just do it? And I was like, well, we talked about this upon signing. There are certain things that I'm not going to do. And, you know, she had to call the production at like 11 at night the day before. So like I went into production and everybody was like, well, Donald.
That's that guy.
there's that guy over there. And it's just like, you know, like, don't do that. You know, like you're going to totally flip the script on something that I was not even prepared for. And, you know, content wise, I don't agree with. And
I'm with you 100%. But it's good that you like stood your ground and, you know, stay true to yourself.
It's also important. I also tell everybody, you know, and you went through high school and you graduated college. I tell people all the time, don't bite the, what do they say? Like, don't chase the dream. It's like, okay, let me just drop out of high school. Let me just drop out of college, just pursue my dreams and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. You can do that. But I mean, for me, I knew I wanted to get married. I knew I wanted to get married at a certain time frame, God willing. I wanted to also have letters behind my name. I wanted to be well-versed. I didn't want to just, oh, there goes that, you know, that guy, that actor or whatever he is, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, whether somebody tells me, well, if you don't do this role, then we're not going to pay you. I was like, okay, well, I'll just go teach in college. I'll, you know, go on the speaking circuit through multiple college. Like I have, people can't box me in. And can you kind of speak to that in terms of being, you know, a college graduate and, you know, you've been certified to say you can do something.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm teaching at like 5 different studios right now.
Wow.
And part of that is credited to my degree, you know, I wouldn't get paid as much, but I also wouldn't like be certified to teach to the highest level that I can teach at without what I learned in school. Yeah. You know, I really got a lot out of my program, but I think for people that are going into especially musical theater programs that again, so competitive, so negative, all these different things, like I had always said to everyone that would be like auditioning, because I was lucky enough to like help out with the auditions as the dance assistant. But I always said to everyone, like, no matter where you go, whether it's one of like these like major big name schools or a small school or whatever, you will get out of the program what you put in, you know? And I just believe that with anything, like even with me teaching dance, if I'm in a bad mood and blah, 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 like whatever, that's not going to go over well for my students, but it also won't go over well for myself. Yeah. Like I will get more out of teaching when I am giving it my all, you know?
Yeah.
But it's funny, kind of backtrack to you were saying with getting married, that to me is such an interesting thing, especially in like the musical theater world, because so many people are like, I'm not going to get married till I'm so old, or like, I never want to get married,
rusty and dusty.
I mean, one of the contracts that I was on, it was kind of eye-opening. I didn't realize how many like open marriages there were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I was like, wow, okay, like you learn something on every contract you go on.
Yeah.
But yeah, with getting married, like that was also something for me that it actually ended up with the pandemic and everything. I don't know that I would have gotten married the time that I did if COVID didn't happen, mm-hmm. because I was going like this with my career, but then everything shut down.
Yeah.
And I like didn't know what else to do. So then Sean and I just started looking at venues and, you know, like, but it's just really awesome because now I'm in a place where my like home life and my personal life are where I want it to be.
Amen.
that I feel like now I can really go for the exact career that I want.
Yeah.
And not just going for any type of gig that comes my way, you know. Yeah. I feel like I can be more picky and can have more of an opinion, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And I mean, just for clarity for everybody listening, she didn't just like, you know, for COVID, she didn't just get married just randomly. She's known her now husband for a very long period of time. So yeah, I had a crush
on my husband in fifth grade.
There it is.
And then we started dating in high school. So there you go.
Yes. So it just, you know how people do, Allie. They're like, what? This girl is correct. No.
No, but like when you're living in New York City, you're like struggling to just pay rent and get groceries. Like COVID happened and we left the city and then my like personal life just kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's, it's kind of been where some people are like, this was, you know, the worst thing could ever happen. And some people are like, the best thing that ever happened. It's like, divorce rates went high and then baby rates went high too. And then it's like, you know, it's like one or the other. And I kind of credit it to being, you know, it might sound really crazy, but the best, worst times of my life.
Sure.
Like this whole past year and a half, 2 years. It's been really incredible just to kind of
going on
deeper.
A long time.
I know. Just to dig deeper in my relationship with the Lord. Not just, you know, I think sometimes as believers and, you know, people who are, you know, trying to find, you know, the right faith or quote unquote, they'll, you know, let me just say my prayers, you know, as I'm in the bed going to sleep. And it's like, yo, that's like, you're falling asleep talking to somebody. And, you know, I kind of caught myself doing that a little bit. It's like, man, you know, I get through my whole day and, you know, I'm praying and whatnot, but it's like, you know, there's a relational aspect to it all. You know, it's, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not like, you know, well, if you read the whole Bible, you know what goes on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to,
yeah.
God is our Father. So we must treat Him like our Father, not like an employer. You know what I'm saying?
That, and too, I think when God's at the center of everything, with COVID, like, you know what, I trust in God's plan, so I'm going to just look on the bright side, you know, like, I just always try to look to a positive way, if that makes sense, in any situation.
No, absolutely. So how's marriage life been?
It's good. We got a puppy too.
Dog mom vibes.
Oh yeah. I surprised him. I'm crazy. One, I literally was like finalizing my wedding details while planning a surprise for Sean because his birthday was 2 weeks after we got married. Wow. So we got back from our honeymoon and then I drove to Ohio to get this puppy. I told him I was like getting clothes from my parents' house. I was like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so I'm nuts. But marriage is awesome. And honestly, like, I don't know if you feel this way, but we both have our like personal relationships with God, but our personal relationships have grown so much more just because like now we are growing together as well. It's such a wild thing.
Yeah, you know, that's so good. First of all, yo, can we get over Allie really quick? She's so freaking dope. Yo, I love Allie. Just seeing you, you know, and just becoming the woman of God that you are, it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
I always do my best when I'm meeting with, and just to be completely transparent with women in the industry and stuff like that, I make it very apparent, like, look, you know, I'm very happily married. I'm great.
Yeah.
I, you know, am meeting with you, like, I see you as, you know, my colleague and whatnot, but especially you, Allie, like, you're like my little sister, you know, and I just really appreciate, you know, what God is doing in your life. And, you know, I honor you for that. And it's just so wonderful just to be able to see your family doing well. And, you know, when it comes to the entertainment industry, you mentioned like you like the open marriages and all this type of stuff. Like it's a real thing. And
it is.
Some people are like, well, why did you even, you know, get married? Like you're, you know, you're handsome and you're beautiful. Why didn't you just want to just, you know, we're on tour. Let's just.
And yeah, that's it. When people are on tour, yeah, that's when it's open. You're
like, what? Like, you know, my wife has gone, you know, leaps and bounds to make sure she's with me, you know, as much as she can be. I haven't done any theater credits in terms of theater contracts and whatnot since The Color Purple due to, you know, just choices I've had to make in terms of not wanting to do certain projects because of, you know, just the stuff, all the underlying things. And I always say my testimony is still loading. So I don't really give out the things that I've turned down or things like that because, you know, I don't want to give any room, you know, for the enemy to try.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? And people for are sure. Just, why would you? You could be like a millionaire. You could just like, well, you know, I don't want to sacrifice my soul for the dollar. I don't want to sacrifice my future for the dollar. And, you know, my wife has been so incredible with that. And, you know, we've been traveling together doing and even bringing her into the industry side as well. Her being in front of the camera and
that's awesome.
Just working together. And, you know, when you're in a godly marriage, you know, you kind of alluded to it, you know, you both grow together. And something, you know, for me as being, you know, the man of the house and the head of the household, as you know what the Bible says, like, you know, there's God and then there's the husband and then there's the woman. Now, a lot of people get this really jacked
up. People get up in arms
like,
about it.
You say the word, the S word, the submittance word. And it's like, yo, do you realize that there's more things in the Bible that God says the man has to do than the woman?
Yes. Yes.
And
like love
like,
the woman
as he loves himself. Yep. And how, you know, we've kind of put in our marriage. It's like, you know, God speaks to me, but God speaks to us. I may be the head, but baby, you're the neck. You help me turn toward the voice of God. So let's not think that the word submittance means dominance, or it's more like honor. You honor me. Yes. I honor you. It's reciprocated. And
also, too, I have always said, like, because people get so up in arms about the whole Adam and Eve story and, like, creating Eve from his rib.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, why was he first? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but if this man created me, who am I to question where I came from? Like, I'm not questioning anything. Like, thanks for making me.
Legit. And it's literally like, you know, it's a teamwork makes the dream work mentality that you have to have, especially in entertainment. Like when you want to do it the right way, you want to honor God, you want to make great content. And that's been kind of my motto throughout my whole entire life. There's not a lot of, you know, content out of there that tells just why does it always have to be like, well, specifically for like people of color. Like it's always, you know, slavery. It's always civil rights. It's all, well, let's talk about like, we came a long way. But we have to make sure we never forget the past. So we don't, you know, make the same mistakes in the future. And then you have like, you know, just people in the industry, you know, Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. I'm like, well, yo, all lives matter, but all lives have to matter at all times. So it's like all these like arguments, they're so easily, they can be put down very simply, but it's all about having the conversation and really, you know, talking about it. And I just got to the point, Allie, where I was like, yo, you know, I don't have a whole bunch of money at the moment, God willing, because I know I'm a young king and all the finances are coming in Jesus' name.
It'll come.
Boom. So I'm, you know, I just create my own stuff. Like the project, yeah. You know, you were in 6-7 years ago. I was like on a dollar in a dream. You know, and now it's like, you know, I'm a few short films in and the budget is, you know, bigger and I'm getting more content. Things are sharper. And it's just like, we have to create it because we can't trust the people, you know, that are in charge nowadays to create something that is telling the full essence and the full, you know, if you start from the bottom, let's talk about how you started from the bottom and you got to the top and you're making sure that the people who come after you, they don't have to start at the bottom too. It's just all about resilience, right. You know?
Yes. And honestly, I feel like what you just said too ties in with the whole race thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm with you, which... like I could not go in somewhere and like say all lives matter because it wouldn't be taken correctly, especially from someone that looks like me, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But it's like, I am with you that like, we all have to work together. We all have to communicate together. We all need to be nice to each other. Like, it's just, it's really disheartening. Like the divide still that is happening with the community, especially theater community.
Yeah, right. And again, I don't know. I feel like the Lord is leading us here. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to. I'm going to, y'all listening, I suggest you buckle up for this.
We are digging.
A lot of people, let's just be honest. First of all, I always got to, Allie, I got to give my credentials just because people are like, well, what are you talking about? I have a bachelor's in history, people, and a master's of arts in teaching and a certified life coaching certificate. I know what I'm talking about. And I grew up in the suburbs, went to a historically Black college university. My parents grew up in the hood. They had my brother and I, they came out. They're very successful. It's such like the full circle story. And God is good. They're both pastors. I've had this experience. So please, if you have any questions, feel free to drop it in the comments or the personal message. I have my credentials. You can Google everything I said. There's no faking. There's no capping. There's no none of that. All right. So that being said, a lot of people are saying the division came from Donald Trump. Now, here's my thing. The division was already there. He just made sure the people who wanted to say what they had to say had a platform to expose themselves. Mm-hmm. That's in my opinion. Now, as a believer, here we go. As a believer that believes in the Bible, 10 toes down, front to back, how can I say that I hate Donald Trump when 3/4, almost a quarter of the Bible will say, if you want to get technical, was written by a man named Paul who killed Christians for a living?
Right.
How can I say that I'm not going to pray for Donald Trump? How can I say I'm not going to pray for anybody who is, you know, doing a racist thing? How can I say that and claim to be a believer? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really have to look at this thing as the Christ lens and understand where these things are coming from. It's not necessarily the person, it's the spirit behind the person. And that's what we have to deal with. We can't just get so caught up in, you know, let's, you know, tweet for justice. Let's, you know, march for justice. Let's create policy for justice. You know,
listen, I'm on the same page with you with all that political stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. it was fascinating to me, especially during the election, like whether I posted something on my story or not, I would be getting messages left and right. Like, why did you post this? Oh, good that you posted this. Like literally, like I'm donating to certain things, but I'm not posting something.
Not donating.
And then I'm like getting badgered. Like, why didn't you put this on your story? I'm
not
like,
donating, Allie. They were getting mad at you were donating.
Literally, like, but the thing is that like I wasn't posting. Like I would donate towards certain things I felt compelled to do so, but I wasn't sitting there like posting my every breath on my Instagram story. Yeah. So I could sit here and like while people are posting or donating $5, I donated $30, but I'm not sitting here telling people that. Yeah. But then 2 seconds later, yeah, I'm getting messages like, why are you not posting this? Mm-hmm. Or do you believe this? Like, do you like him? Are you for him? I'm like, Don't tell me what to do.
Those are the same people who, you know, want to do the whole, when you're feeding the homeless. Yeah, you know, I'm feeding the homeless. I'm out here. Yes. You guys see me?
Yes.
Yeah, yo, this guy's really, you know, and it's like.
Yes.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, the I need to be seen society we live in. Or, you know, again, that's no disrespect to, you know, our fellow believers, but honestly, my friend, I believe that everybody's a Christian until it gets biblical. And it's just like, you got to choose a side. And, you know, I've turned down lots of money because of my stance. Not because, you know, I'm better than anybody or anything like that, but I have a certain stance that I'm going to take and morals that I'm not going to give up just for the dollar. And, you know, I don't want, you know, my kids to, you know, my biological kids that I'll have in the future to say, Daddy, why did you do that? Did you have to do that? Or what was your choice? You know, you don't really, you know, act like how you're acting on the screen and, you know, acting is, you know, of course we're putting on a character, but
right,
we have to be very, you know, choosy of what we do because we live in a very simple-minded society. They could see me playing like, I don't know, we'll say like a mercenary or whatever. And then, you know, in the streets, they're like, yo, aren't you that mercenary, right? I hate you. And it's just like stuff like that. It's like, well, bro, it was just, you know, but people in this microwave society, it's really wild.
It is. It is. And especially when you let it be known that you're a Christian, it's like people look for the second that you crumble or the second that you do make a mistake. Right. They're like, oh, well, you did this. So you're not actually a good, like, or, you know.
It's really crazy.
And it's funny. I was in church a couple of Sundays ago and the pastor was telling the story of this woman. Long story short, basically the woman like was asked like if she loves God and she said, I do love God, but I don't love all of his word. And that like stood out to me because everything we're talking about, it's like, if you love God, you have to love all of his word, you know, not just some of it. Yeah. We can't just be picky and choosy about like, oh, I like this verse, but not this one. Like, no, we have to love it all. And I don't know, that has been on my mind lately, especially with like going into audition season and figuring out my next steps and everything. It's like, just, does this align with me?
That's it. And you're in such a, like, you know, you're in such a delicate time in your life. You know, I'm not that much older than you, but like, you know, you just got married. You're in like, you're in like the seed stage of your life, you know, you two become one. Your seed is going into the ground. And as God waters the seed, he'll bring increase and he'll bring, you know, the tree. You know, when you eventually have kids and all this type of stuff and your legacy and all these things, like you have to be really careful about what you decide to do, you know, what you don't do, and just really like, you know, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and, you know, and with your husband, y'all just really get on bended knee together and having that intentional time is so important during these times because you're a warrior queen, my friend. You know, you're not meant to be on the sidelines. Like this isn't, you know. We need outlets like this, like what we're doing right now, conversation, in the world today, you know, here I am, you big black guy, here you are, a white girl. Oh, it's like, what is going, like, we still
live in that. How are they talking?
No, like we still, there's still that mindset, you know, and it's sad, but it is what it is. And we got to continue to bring that reconciliation. That's what it's all about.
Well, and, you know what's funny is not the correct word, but I always thought it was interesting, like this past year and everything when BLM really came about and like just all of these different things going on in the world and people would like the whole conversation about like being like colorblind. that whole conversation was so interesting to me, because I'm like, for me, growing up as a Christian, like, and it, my parents always taught, like, you just be nice to everybody. Like, it literally doesn't matter. Like, so I was never colorblind. Like, you see color, you see hair color, you see height, you see weight, you see all these things. It just didn't matter, you know, and it doesn't matter. And to then be in a climate, it's so hard to navigate a climate where it's like, oh, if you say it didn't matter, you're wrong.
Yeah. Like, no, I feel you, because it's like, when you say it doesn't matter, you're not saying you see that there are different shapes, colors, and sizes. You're saying that your color does not dictate how I treat you, because I'm a woman of God. Right. I am treating you how God will want me to treat you, treat and loving my neighbor. And I feel like that's, again, we live in such a society where everybody, you know, everybody's angry and nobody's actually listening to understand. Yeah. People are just listening to respond. And it just comes to situations like this where, you know, we're on here. Like, again, you know, this isn't our first time talking. We've, like, you know, again, grown up with each other in one way or another. And to be able to talk on this topic is so important, and understanding that there is unity literally within the word community. And we need to be able, you know, like, we need to be able to do that. It's almost like, you know, a rainbow is beautiful, but a rainbow exists with more than one color. You know, so it's seeing that we're all together is a beautiful thing. And, you know, my prayer is that, of course, you know, things will get better. You know, we'll see different films and TV shows, or just things on multimedia outlets that show, you know, black and white and red and yellow. And like, there's more than like black. And that's another thing. And I know you feel that there's more than just two races. Like, there's five different people groups. You know, and it's like, you should whittle it down to, you know, as history, you know, as it repeats itself, and we just can't let it repeat itself in terms of anyone being put in slavery, anyone being put in bondage, anyone being judged by the color of their skin instead of the content of their character, and just moving forward, understand that there was some really bad things that happened, and we have to teach the whole history.
That's another thing, is that, like, why are we trying to erase history? Because erasing it, then it is going to repeat itself. Yo. Like, we have to teach the good, the bad, and the ugly, so we know where we came from. We know how to be better. We know how to grow from it. Like, I am with you on that 100%.
Exactly, sis. It's, you know, having a lot of teacher friends, and now, you know, within the area that, you know, where we grew up and whatnot, they're having a battle of, like, critical race theory. Should we do it? Do we? I'm just like, no, you don't have to do that. Just teach the whole history.
I mean, do you find that people point fingers at you for being a man of color and having that stance?
Honestly, no. I'm actually gearing up for a college tour. Sponsored by, I got to get the name right. It's like all these acronyms. The National Association of Campus Activities. It's called NACA. I'm going to Kansas City, Missouri in February to talk about social justice issues, diversity and inclusion, and how we can actually be the change that we want to see. You know, we can stop just tweeting for justice. We can stop marching and getting no results. We can create policy. It's all about policy. Right. So when it comes to people saying that I'm wrong, I think it's really hard for people to say that I'm wrong just because of my diverse background. You know, my parents, they didn't grow up poor or anything. My parents, you know, they were just middle class, you know, in the city of Philadelphia, when Philadelphia was really, you know, you had your gang territories, you had all this type of stuff. And, you know, my father, you know, he went to some of the top institutions in Pennsylvania, and my mother, she received her doctorate in theology, and, you know, they've done well. And, you know, they come from the inner city to come to the suburbs. And then, you know, they have my brother and my sister and I. So, you know, I have family, you know, in the cities, then in the suburbs, And then, you know, I go to, you know, community college in the suburbs, and then I go to historically Black college and university in the inner city Baltimore. But then after that, I come back home to the suburbs and I teach in classes where I'm the only, you know, Black person, or
right.
you know, I teach in classes, or I'm in certain events where I'm the only Black person. So it's like being well-rounded and knowing what both sides are about and right. understanding the history. When you look at the history, you know, with critical race theory, the whole thing is like, I think there was this article where this teacher put on a hat that said white people are the oppressors and Black people were the people who were being oppressed during that time period. And when you look at it, I could see where, you know, my white brothers and sisters got mad because it's like, yo, my child today is not an oppressor.
Right.
And you know, the Black child is not the quote unquote oppressed. But back in that time period, that was true. And we, yeah. we have to be honest. It didn't just happen. You know, the slave trade, it happened, you know, it ended. You know, Blacks were freed, this, that, and the third, and we have Barack Obama, and like everything is great. Like, yo,
right.
like, there's so much history that happened in between.
Right.
And I feel like that's what, you know, a lot of my white brothers and sisters are not alluding to. Like, there's no empathy. Like as we said, you know,
right.
we have to be able to listen to understand. We have to say that all lives matter, but all lives really have to matter at all times. And
right.
ultimately, you know, for me, it comes down as two human races of all time. One race that knows God, another race that don't. I'm just, you know, but we can't be colorblind that we're all different shapes and sizes. So I don't think it's that complex of a discussion. I just think people don't sit down to talk about it like we're talking
right.
about it, which is what we weren't right. even supposed to even be talking about this, but
no.
it's just like, I don't even know how this, but I don't know. I guess
I don't know how we got talk here. About
it. We're supposed to talk about it. So, I mean,
that's so funny.
You know,
it was important.
Apparently. Hilarious.
I'm like, well, back to dancing.
Legit. And, you know, I guess we could try to take a hard left. When it comes to, you know, your career in dancing, you would want like your students and again, your future children to be able to, you know, see you in a show or in a production and be proud. Like yeah. we live in this society now, and I talk to my wife about this all the time. Like, why do women that I've seen have to take off their clothes all the time for social media?
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing this? Like, you are absolutely beautiful with your clothes on, my sister. You know, I understand, like, you know,
turtleneck,
you know, like, look, you know, you want to, and then it's like, I don't know. So what is your feeling on that? Cause you have done such an incredible job, sis. Like, again, like, since I've known you, you've carried yourself with such just grace and integrity and just character. Like, there's never been a time where I've seen you like, I don't know. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
I do. You know what's, so for me, growing up as a dancer, that did always instill this sense of like confidence in mm-hmm. me. Just being in front of people, being working with people. Like, I don't know. I've just always had this sense of confidence. So I feel like when it comes to carrying myself in like a classy way or whatever, mm-hmm. it really just comes from like, I don't get like my self-worth from posting myself like with cleavage or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It just doesn't matter, you know? And if I do, like if my outfit shows a little bit more, like that's yeah. great too. But right. at the same time, like I'm not
like, oh, gotta post this so I can get some attention.
No, like I'm not yeah. sitting here like yeah. so worried that I might get 100 more likes if yeah. I like show a little something. Like yeah. That is just like not even in my wavelength, you know? Yeah. So I feel like I've always just kind of carried myself in a way, partially just because like I do have this confidence in myself, and that is myself not show, like I don't need to show anything to get respect from anyone or to get more likes or any of that. But I will say, like, I, in the dance world, we do grow up like quick changes. You get that, you know, like quick changes or changing backstage or blah, blah, blah. So it almost becomes desensitized in a way. So I feel like a lot of people probably just don't even really, think about how they look to like children or how they look to like an older person, because they're just like, oh yeah, like I do this in my day-to-day life, I don't care who sees. But I guess that brings me to another point, whereas I do care what people see that I put out there. Like I do teach children, so I don't need to be sitting there, I wouldn't anyway, but like, I don't need to be sitting there with a caption that like just drops a bunch of F-bombs. Like, I, you know, like, because I have children that, and I don't know those children's parents. Like there are some parents that don't want to subject their kids to certain things. So I'm not going to be the person that's like teaching your 6-year-old.
Yeah. How to like, drop it like it's hot.
Like, no, I'm not going to be that person. And also, like, I was always told, like, you respect your elders. You respect people older than you. You respect your teachers and blah, blah, blah. So for me, I just don't, I don't obviously spend, like, every day thinking about this, but I do take time to think, like, okay, this post that I'm going to make, like, is this going to offend anybody? Is this going to put me in a bad light? Like, is this going to put my family in a bad light? Like,
oh man, now you're preaching. I hear you. I hear it. It's like, but then some people are like, man, you sound like you're living like in a prison alley. Like you sound like you're like, but you don't feel like that. I mean, I don't feel like that.
And I'm all for sharing. Like, I'm all for sharing personal struggles or sharing like my walk with God or like the highs and lows. Like I'm all for sharing those things, but I also like, I don't sit there and like outwardly try to put something out there that's like gonna put my mom in a bad situation like I'm not trying to make anyone in a weird situation where like some random person's calling up my dad, like, why is she posting? Like, don't have time for it. Don't care. Like,
No, you're right. I mean, we live in such an overly, overly sexualized society. Like, Oh my God. I mean, just the, again, I don't know why we're even talking about this, but this is like, this must be a God thing. I don't know.
I think it is.
You know, who's going to, you know, listen or watch this or, there's pornography running rampant in social media and it's available for anybody with a phone, for kids as young as, I don't even know, 6 years old. And now you see people coming out, a lot of these artists talking about, you know, I've been addicted to pornography since I was like 13 years old. I've been addicted to this because it's all about having too much access and all about not having the proper people around
you. Well, it's like technology is taking over the world for one. And then also two, I've seen it. Like we teach kids, like I've seen situations where a parent doesn't want to deal with their temper tantrum child that they just give them the iPad, you know, like we're in this world where dealing with problems is just take this.
Yeah. No,
play the game, play the game on the phone. Don't bother me situation. Yeah. It's like, it is wild, but you're right. Like, so kids are seeing these things. So I guess that's where we bring it back, where it's like, I don't want to be the person putting something out there.
Y'all for see my somebody sis, what else's she's doing kid. Right now?
Yeah. Like just be a good example. That's it.
Oh my God. Like, that's really what it is. And I do my best, and I have some really, really great representation. Like, I honestly, it's nothing but God that they love me the way they do. Because
that's great.
The stuff, like, you would think I would already have like an Oscar or a Grammy. The way I turn stuff down sometimes, they're just like, all right, Dom, we're gonna stick with you. We're gonna keep this going because we know that integrity and character matters to you. And we love you and we support you. And it's just awesome. Just, you know, for anybody out there who's, you know, looking to really get into this industry professionally, like Allie, again, she's had, you know, many different opportunities and jobs within the industry. And, you know, I've been doing this for years now. And it's so important to have a team that loves and that cares for you, that you don't feel pressured that you have to do this or else, they're not going to like me, or they're going to drop me from, you know, the agency. Or it's so important to have.
That's such a big conversation too. Like, I'm one of your questions, I was looking at like what future things are on the horizon. Like,
yes,
I'm in the position now where I'm switching agencies.
Oh, wow.
And it's just because, one, they weren't sending me on things that I felt were me. Mm-hmm. And that, so that just is like, I think people in the industry get so scared that like, oh, I need to hang on to this agent because I just need an agent. But it's like, no,
that's
if facts. they're sending me on things that like are literally just not one, what I want to be doing, but also like, don't even fit me. Like, you know, so there's that, but then also too, like my situation was weird that when mid COVID, my like contract came up, and when you like sign the like year contract and then they re-signed, but like trial run almost, it was like literally when things were shut down. Right. So it went from like being sent on things that were so not even remotely me to then like just like radio silence and whatever. So I'm there too, like in the whole position of switching agencies and just getting back out there. I mean, January through April is a big audition season, you know? Yeah. Also too, I don't even know if you know this. I posted like one picture about it, but I broke my ankle.
Really?
Yeah. In last February. So almost a year ago. So this was also like mid COVID.
Yeah.
And my dad was getting surgery. And so I was like the only person that was able to help my brother move into New York. Long story short, it was February. There were snow mounds everywhere. And I literally just slipped on ice.
Wow.
Like me, the person who has been dancing my whole life and never gets injured, then me slips on ice and breaks myself.
Wow, wow.
But that was such like a hard, that was a low for me, because I was already like, I got the agent, I just got done a contract, like I moved to the city, blah, 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 all these things.
The whole thing.
And then boom, everything shuts down, lockdown, can't see anybody, can't talk to people, people are fighting, like just this like really dark place. And then on top of that, I break myself.
Yeah.
So I was in physical therapy for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I originally was supposed to be in physical therapy. There was a contract that I did and hurt myself. And long story short, I have a herniated disc and my sacrum is tilted. So that's what physical therapy was for my back. But I roll up, and I'm in my crutches, my boot. The guy looks at me like, what are you in for? Like, what? Wow. Why are you here? I'm so confused. But yeah, so like I have been training myself and getting myself strong again just to even be able to teach, just to even be able to dance again. And I'm finally now at a point where I have that like that drive back. Because again, when I was feeling low, going to PT, like I'm broken, things are shut down. I like lost that drive a little bit. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get married and like, just like be a mom, like whatever. But no, God gives us gifts and we are supposed to use them, you know? So I threw with the help of Jesus, and also mm-hmm. just like getting back to being able to do it. Oh, I have that drive to get back to really performing and mm-hmm. dancing.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Wow. Praise God. I'm sorry you went through that. you know, but it's interesting. Like, that's a part of your story. That's a part of your testimony.
Yeah, now it is.
That makes you so much stronger even now, even in your healing. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. And I'm looking forward to what God has for you, my sister. I mean, it's...
Thank you.
It's... I caught myself saying for a long period of time, the best is yet to come. But my manager told me about 1 month ago, he said, stop saying that. The best is here. And I'm like, wow. Because when I think about it, you know, we're not promised another day. So
that's true.
It is so important to believe and speak it into existence. You know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And we must believe and speak that and keep that moving. And I'm excited for you. I mean, first of all, this conversation has been so weird. We might have to
chat.
Yeah, we might have to really do some stuff. Like another time we get to talk. Or
could I just add to what you just said? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this with Sean and some friends the other day, but like, you know how people rank sin, and like here on earth, it's like, oh, murder ranks verse like, oh, stealing $5.
So deep right now. It's usually me. That's the deep one.
Sorry. But what I was going to say though, is like the power of the tongue. And I guess this kind of comes full circle to mm-hmm. the whole, like, would you take on certain shows or certain gigs with based off your faith and whatever, like, I would not do a show or a dance performance or anything that completely goes against God. And because life and death in the power of the tongue, sure, I might not be physically murdering someone here on earth, but if I'm spreading the false gospel, I might as well be murdering you. You know what I mean? So what you just said, like, hit me right here, because that's, I think that comes full circle. It's like, we have to be careful about what we do in the business.
Yeah. And I guess to erase your period and put a comma there, like, and again, this is, oh my God, I don't even know how to say this. I do know how to say this. I'll call it advanced Christianity. Okay, because no one's perfect. That's first and foremost. I'm not, you're not. We strive to be the best that we can possibly be.
Right.
Now, if I'm given a role that shows somebody at their lowest of their low, and, you know, there's some profanity, there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, that's showing the human side of us. However, if the person stays there, you know, we need the full circle. We need redemption. We need to show what God has done, because, you know, it's amazing. If you really go down to it, Jesus died on a cross and there were, you know, there's a thief and there's a murderer, you know, or both criminals, if you just want to say that. And the first person who went to heaven with Jesus was, you know, somebody who was a criminal. So it's like, nobody's far from God's grace and salvation.
And, right.
You know, if there were roles that were out there that show the full 360 picture of it, because that's real life, people are going through those things, then, you know, it would, I mean, I haven't had a situation like that, a role that I've been cast for or going out for, but I know that's coming. And that's something that I need to literally just me and the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this? Do you see, am I giving God glory in this, or am I causing people to fall in this? So that's the thing. Like, you know, people like you and me were chosen to go into the industry, which is, you know, innately a dark place, to bring the light, but to also get out of there. Like, Jesus hung out with everybody, but he didn't stay there. He left.
Right.
You know, so it's like, how do we, you know, I wouldn't say toe the line, but how do we keep ourselves, you know, fortified in integrity? And it's exactly what you said. You know, it's like, is there any redemption in this? Is God in this at all? Or am I just out here just
making somebody fall, which we're not supposed to do?
Exactly. So, but again, you know,
and what you said too about like being that light, like the question, what do you want your legacy to be? I literally like just jotting down notes. I was like, to be a light in like a negative industry and in a competitive industry. Like I want to walk into a room and people know like I'm a safe space, or I want to teach my kids. Like I want to like those kids to go on and be a light. And whether that has to do with Christianity or not, it's just like, just be kind to people.
Just be kind.
Yep. And that's like, that's it, you know, because without that, like, what is even the point?
Yeah, you're right, sis. Now, do you have anything that you can encourage people for, you know, who are in this industry, specifically for women, you know, in this industry and for, you know, little girls that are struggling to find their identity or keep their identity and struggling to do what's right. Can you kind of speak to them in this moment?
Yeah, I mean, for me, any single problem in the industry or my personal life or anything, it's like, throw it up to Jesus, you know? Even if you don't even know who Jesus is, just try, you know? Just put your all your worries up. Just throw it up and just see what happens, you know, take a step forward. Like I said, just be kind, be that light. Never, ever, ever go in somewhere thinking your poo don't stink. Like never be that person, you know, just always be like, make people smile, make people happy and make yourself happy. You know, you do not have to bend over backwards and alter yourself for any industry, you know.
Amen.
That's what I would say.
That's so you're glowing right now. And I'm just
you're glowing.
I'm so proud of you. Wow. I'm so proud of you, seriously.
Thank you.
To see, you know, how you've grown and how you continue to grow. I'm proud to be your adopted big brother in the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And
we definitely will have to chat because we went down so many different avenues.
We're going to have to. Yeah, this is not going to be the last time that we have a conversation here. Well, look, I honestly right now, I definitely feel led to pray. So we're going to do that
for sure.
Yeah, let's just pray. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus and the precious Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace, Lord. I thank you for your love. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to die on the cross for our sins, past, present, and future. And I thank you, Jesus, for as you ascended up to heaven, you said, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Counselor and the Holy Spirit. And he's here with us now. You know, there's three personalities, one God. And I thank you, Father, for being all three in one and being everything that we need here on earth as it already is in heaven. I thank you for my sister, Allie, and her whole family and her husband. I pray that you protect her from all hurt, harm, and danger, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I pray that you keep her and mold her as the mighty woman of God that she is. She is absolutely beautiful inside and outside. And I pray that you keep her safe with that supernatural hedge of protection. We bind and we break any principalities or rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places, witches, warlocks, wandering spirits, familiar spirits, anything that is not of you, Father. We bind it and we break it and we cast it into the pit of hell. Let my sister grow as she's planted right now as a newlywed with her wonderful husband, that they will find themselves on bended knee together, giving you all the honor, praise, and glory each and every day that they get to see. May they operate in power and authority each and every day. May the kids that Allie teaches be blessed by her skill set, be blessed by her influence, but most importantly, be blessed by the light that is within her. I pray for her family right now. I break any type of generational curses, Father, that may have been in her bloodline, in her family, anything that her ancestors have done that's not of you, Father. We need to break those generational curses, because those same things, those same demons will try to creep up with us, you know, before we even understand. Father, I just cast them out right now. And I believe that my sister is truly on the right path. She's truly doing the things that she's supposed to do. You said, Father, that you know the desires of our heart, and we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways, we are to acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. My sister is a Proverbs 31 woman, and I pray that you bless her marriage, you bless her business, you bless her skill sets as a triple threat. You know, it's funny, Father, you're a triple threat. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the big three. We only run one offensive play, the triangle offense. I thank you so much for my sister. And I know for a fact that the best is not yet to come, but the best is here in the time that we are. And I'm looking forward to seeing her success, to seeing her blossom each and every day. And for those who are listening, Allie alluded to just get to know Jesus. And with that being said, if anybody wants to get to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, it's very simple. It's not spooky. It's just giving your Creator a chance. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So all you have to say is repeat after me and Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to lead me and guide me toward my destiny. I believe that you lived and you died on the cross for my sins, past, present, and future, and that you died on the third day and rose with all power in your hands of heaven and earth. Transform me, renew me, help me be who I'm called to be. I give my life to you. And if you had said that prayer, let's just take it a step further. As I was talking about the Holy Spirit, there's things called the gift of the Spirit. Those first things are what Allie and I have talked about this whole time, being kind, showing love, being a positive person. Those are fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. But there's also something called speaking in tongues, and that's your heavenly language. And that's something that a lot of people kind of tend to run away from, think it's weird or think it's scary. It's actually your direct access to the throne room. And it's simple as this, just speaking in tongues, saying, Father, I thank you. You're worshiping the Father. You're thanking him for his grace. You're thanking him for his mercy. And then any types of words or anything that you see in your mind or you hear, even things that sound like, Lord, I thank you. Things like that. You're just thanking the God. You're worshiping for who he is and for what he's doing in your life. And these are things that are coming out and things that may feel weird, but it's your heavenly language and your connection with the Father that can't be broken. So if you said that prayer, if you did your first attempt to speaking in tongues, because it takes some time, welcome into the kingdom. Welcome into God's kingdom. And Allie and I are your brothers and your sisters. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Allie, yo, we got to get off of here because we got to get off of here right now.
Literally. But, you know, I will just say one more thing. This whole thing was dancing with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know, like, if I knew this going into this conversation, but it's dancing with God's purpose, you know, like dancing with the gifts that he gave you.
Yeah.
I'll leave it with that.
Oh man. Okay. Where can people find you too? Just in case, like an email or social media, like what's the most direct place?
Definitely Instagram, which is Allie W Devonshire. Allie W Devonshire.
All right. Yes. If y'all want to reach out to my good sis, please do.
Do it.
She's an incredible woman of God. She's a warrior for Christ and she's a triple threat. And she's going places in this industry. And we're out here and we're doing our best to do the right thing. So with all that being said, thank y'all so much
for tuning
in to the Royalty Connection. Yes. My sister, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm like, if we don't get off here now, we're going to end up
down a different rabbit hole.
We're going to end up staying here forever. So yeah. I love you so much, Allie.
Love you. Again, thank you.
Give my love to your family. And
I will. You too.
We'll talk together soon. Okay?
See ya.
Peace.